from my surgery. I was trying to buy medicine because my knees are so hurt from my surgery. It hurts like hell. I'll just tell you that. It hurts like hell.
Yeah. It's, I want to welcome everybody to the world according to Ben Stein. And what, once again, I have the dreaded COVID. So we are going to do this as long as we can because both of us are in a bit of pain. And I want to welcome and thank everybody for tuning in, the Rumblers, the Ranthers, the Truthers. And it's not funny, but a friend of mine who I'm praying for who just had surgery like you did, he had a testicle removed, and I wanted to go visit him. And as I was sharing my COVID, he said, I'll trade with you.
That's very funny. That's very funny.
And
very
I said, no, I'll take the COVID. And I
go ahead, look around. Go ahead, look around somewhere, sir. It's there, sir. It's there. It's there. You have to look around. Yeah, go ahead. Trying to find something is a special kind of hell that was invented by the Democrats.
But it's funny. But it is interesting that I was sharing the other night how many times I've gotten this dreaded COVID thing. And woke up at 3 a.m., Ben, freezing my tuchus off. And
I'm so sorry.
And it's very strange experience, especially when you live alone. Anyways, I want to welcome everybody to the world according to that man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
Well, wait a second, my friend, Judah Mark Friedman.
Meyer. I'm not Carl Bernstein.
That's right, good for you, Judah Meyer Friedman. You have just stumbled upon a piece of incredible brilliance with just living alone. It's not good to live alone. I strongly recommend that everyone who's watching this get married.
Yeah, that's get married so you have somebody to take.
Yes.
But of course, the show would be complete without America's Humble Servant, multiple Emmy Award winner, speechwriter, the man that's done so much. He's an icon.
I'm
like a stallion. He's an icon and he's an iconoclast. And most importantly, he's a husband and a father. And second most importantly, he is the doctor, Benjamin Jeremy.
Yes, the doctor, exactly. And the doctor says, physician, heal thyself. How can the physician heal himself when the government of this United States of America, the greatest country in the world, the greatest entity man has ever created, will not let him have the medicines he needs to heal himself? I said, my nurse is a very, very fine human being. He's standing there waiting for me, looking at me quizzically. Yes, sir. Get me cream of chicken with salt.
Cream of chicken. Okay, perfect. There we go. get the soup. I'm drinking green tea and the green tea, I'm taking vitamin C. I'm trying to do the best I can with this. I was thinking to myself, imagine if I had gotten the vaccines. I would have had COVID like 15 times. I multiply by two every time I get it. But I want to get into something very quickly that there's two things I really want to touch on that are right up your alley. When we had the show the other night and Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested, I didn't realize he was being detained in the Bahamas in the worst prison in the United States.
Oh, I did not.
I mean, in the United States.
Yeah, I was going to say the Bahamas didn't used to be in the United States. I wonder what happened.
That's my fault. But yes, he's being detained in one of the worst prisons in the world, supposedly. And I find it amazing, Ben, that we can't get him out of there rather quickly. And it's just interesting to me.
It's very, very interesting. Look, you do not want to be put in a prison in which most of the people are not of the same ethnic group as you, and especially if they're of a darker ethnic group than you. You do not want to be put in a prison where people commonly go in and don't come out alive. And the Bahamas, no. Let me just back up a moment, though. Back up. Wifey, the world's finest being, whom I've spoken about many times, my wifey, the one and only wifey, and I went on a trip to the Bahamas in 1966. Somehow my parents found it in their hearts to say, a winter vacation is really a nice thing to have. And they sent us to the Bahamas. If you can believe this, we went coach. And it was fabulous. It was unbelievable. The Bahamas were great. They had a casino. You had to wear a black tie to get in. And we wore a black tie and we got in. I think my wonderful friend Al Burton, probably the nicest guy that ever lived on this planet, taught me how to shoot craps. And we just were having a great, great time. And but then we noticed as we were leaving, just in the week we had been there, there had been some national uprising of some kind. The streets were full of Native American, African American, African Bahamian people. And boy, they were scary as hell. Now let me go back. I have as my new best friend an African American gentleman named Henry. He worked for me in one of my pieces of real estate. And I don't have very many pieces of real estate. I'm not rich, no matter what you think. I'm not rich.
Go on.
And I'm not rich. I'm not at all rich. You're rich, Judah, because you have a friend like me. But anyway, this man is the kindest, most loving, praising, Jesus-loving, kindest man I ever met in my life.
I agree. He's a great guy.
And he, I was not feeling well in the middle of the night. And he gave me prayers to read about the sovereign Jesus Christ. And I really was just absolutely blown out of my mind. And I loved the guy. And I have to have him in my life from now on. I found out he gets how much he gets paid per hour at his current job. And it's a hard job. And does not get paid very much. I want to hire him and have him stay in my house to pray with me many hours a day. Prayer is not a waste of time. Prayer means everything. And I can't describe to you how much benefit my wifey, the world's finest being, and I would get out of listening to the prayer of this man.
Well said. Getting back to it, I just find it a little interesting. You're right about these countries like the Bahamas and Cuba, how different they were once.
Oh my God, Cuba! Wow.
Once regime change happened, and people often forget this. People often forget this about Iran, that you had parts of the world that were absolutely what they call it, the Paris of the Middle East. You had
Tehran was called the Paris of the Middle East.
Right.
No. Sorry. But back up. It was Beirut, Lebanon. It was called the Paris of the Middle East.
And you had these beautiful places. You had South Africa. You had so many different places that were absolutely stunning. And then regime came, and which is going to go to my next
regime change. Regime change.
Regime change came in. What did I say?
You said regime.
What? I said
you
regime.
Said regime. Regime. No, you said regime. That's okay.
What's wrong with regime? What's wrong with regime?
Because regime change, if it's just regime.
No, it's regime change, yes.
Right, but you didn't say that.
You had regime change in these countries, and obviously they've all fallen by the wayside, but I can't understand you being a former FTC lawyer and you being somebody, what makes this story from the other night even stranger is we all assumed that when he was arrested, he would be immediately extradited to the United States.
Yes, exactly.
And not being held in this prison over there where, you know, his parents are asking them for vegan food.
Oh my God. Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
And they're kicking him in the teeth saying, shut up, Jew boy. You'll eat what we give you and you'll starve. That's very, very funny. Really, really funny. sorry, Mr. Bankman-Fried, but you don't get any special privileges as a Jew boy vegetarian. Sorry.
But again, I still don't understand. Obviously, Ben, do they not want to bring him here? That's my question.
And I don't know. I don't know, but I don't want to bring him here. the idea that so many foreign prisons are very scary places makes me not want to leave the United States. There's almost nothing that can induce me to leave the United States at this point. I love it here. Every step I take, I love it. Every breath I make, I love it. Every soda I drink, every cheeseburger, everything, I love it. I love America.
You've just remade,
I love America.
You've just remade the Police song. And but I want to get to the next thing I wanted to get to, because our great state of California is talking about reparations right now. And
reparations to whom?
To Black people. And Gavin Newsom signed the bill last year. They're trying to go ahead with it now. They have economists working on it, finding out
exactly. Economists. Oh my God, they went to that step to take out economists. The next step is DEFCON 2, and after that, it's nuclear war.
No, but in all seriousness, Ben, this is. I'm trying to figure out for the life of me, reparations for what? And
well, reparations because these poor, innocent, hardworking Black people did not have enough economists working for them.
No, but in all seriousness, Ben, this is a huge issue for you. I mean, I'll tell you what. Talk about what you want to talk about. I've given
No. I want to talk about this. May I talk about this? I, your humble servant, this formerly fat old man, now very considerably less weighty, went into the hospital on last Wednesday, not yesterday, but a week before that, to have surgery on my knees. It's called knee replacement surgery. It is a motherfucker. It hurts so much. And I had really had to nerve myself up to go in. And only with the courage and encouragement of my wife, the world's bravest human being, was I able to bring myself to go in. And I will say, if I may, that I've never been so scared in my life as I was when I went into this dreary, preoperative room at St. John's, Providence, called Providence St. John's. And my anesthesiologist didn't show up. I don't know where the hell he was or where she was, but there I was sitting in a room with a total stranger. And they said, well, we'll find one for you. And I said to them, well, you know, guys, I can make it a few more days without having the surgery. Let's just go back and wait till the surgeon is ready. And his anesthesiologist and his whole team. And let's go. Let's just get going. I want the Kyrie Irving of shots. He's shooting a needle into my spine. No. I said, this woman is great. She's absolutely great. And she was a chubby African-American woman. By the way, I don't mind her being chubby. I like chubby people. And she gave me a shot. It hurt so much. It was unbelievable. Right spine, right, a big needle right between your spinal, whatever they're called. Anyway, and they had me bend over holding a teddy bear in my lap. I was so unhappy, you can't imagine. And she kept saying to me, you're not going to feel a thing. I said, honey, it's too late. I already feel a thing. I already feel a lot, a hell of a lot. And I don't like what I feel. Next thing I knew, though, I was indeed unconscious. Thank God. Unconsciousness is God's blessing. God's blessing. And so I woke up. I said to them, where will I think I am when I wake up? And they said, oh, you'll be in the recovery room. It's a perfectly cheerful, nice room. You'll be in the recovery room. You'll be fine. You'll be living it up. You'll be in high times. So I thought, high times sounds good. So I went to sleep, woke up. There's this pounding. The whole room is vibrating. There are giant flashes of light. Every time there's a giant flash of light, and then the whole room shakes. There are what sound like German Dernier bombers flying overhead. And I said to the nurse, if I can remember, I might not be remembering perfectly, what the hell is going on? This is terrible. Are we being bombed? Am I in Winston Churchill's underground bomb shelter? And she said, yeah, close enough. I said, what? I don't like this. I don't like this. I want to be somewhere safe and calm and cool and collected. No, this is where you are. and you're fine. I said, well, am I in London in Winston Churchill's bomb shelter? The woman said, no, you're perfectly safe. So you're fine. So next thing I knew, it was about 4 p.m. the next day, and I was alive. I couldn't believe it. I was alive. I was happy. And then they said, now this will take you a few days to get over. Don't worry about it. It'll take you a few days to get over, and then you'll be walking right as rain. So I waited until I urgently had to urinate. I'm an old man, so I urgently have to urinate quite often. And next thing I knew, I had pain in my leg, as if the Gestapo were chasing me down and accusing me of being a Jew. And I got right back into bed as fast as I could, and they gave me another shot or something, and out I went for another 6 or 8 hours. And this went on for 3 or 4 hours. And all I remember is writing an email to my best friend from childhood, David Skull, saying to him, David, this is worse than World War II. This is the worst agony I've ever undertaken. It's absolutely unbelievable. And he didn't disagree with me. And maybe he didn't get it. I probably was so confused I didn't send it to him. But I will tell you, ladies and gentlemen, surgery, especially what I had, which is called bone on bone, is really not good. It hurts like the devil, absolutely like the devil. Don't worry about what it costs, because what it costs is the most trivial part of the problem. It hurts so much. It's incredible. And my doctor, my wonderful doctor, Dr. Coe, a very, very nice guy, whom Judah actually introduced me to, said, body pain, bone on bone, is the worst thing in the world. And he was understating it. It's the worst thing on any planet that I know of. And now you know.
Now I know the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. If you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I
don't have surgery.
That's not true. Have surgery if you need knee surgery, and have hip surgery. Have any surgery you need if it's absolutely needed. And Ben, you needed that surgery, and you're walking a lot better than you were beforehand. So come on, sir. Come on, sir.
You know what? You're right. Okay, you're right.
As somebody that would walk around with you a lot, and all I'd hear is, oh shit, every 3 seconds. That has gotten a lot less, and
it is agony.
It sucks. Nobody says it doesn't suck.
It hurts.
I have to quote my friend's father, who just had his surgery. Is the effing you're getting worth the effing you're getting? And in this case,
I think it has to be.
Yeah, in this
it
case,
has to be. It was just horrible.
In this case, though, thank God you're recuperating. If you just tuned in, you are listening to a bridge version of The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to welcome the rumblers, the ranters, the truthers. And I had this just thought about this lack of curiosity that we've grown accustomed to in this country. We are in a curious
country.
It's
a very good phrase.
What did I say?
Lack of curiosity.
We aren't the curious bunch anymore. And the reason I bring this up is, as I once again get COVID, I want to see one investigation.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, I want to see one real investigation.
Right.
Where did it come from? Of the origins of it and all of these different things. We know with the AIDS epidemic, which has only killed 700,000, COVID has killed supposedly way more.
I don't believe it at all.
That like COVID's killed way more?
I don't believe it at all.
Wow, how many people do you believe it's?
I don't know. I don't know how many people it's killed, but I know that it's apparently it's a very, very severe virus, and that can kill a lot of people. But I just generally don't believe anything that Fauci says.
I agree with you 100% on that one. And obviously it was comorbidities and all those different things.
Yeah. I mean, if you got pneumonia,
yeah.
If you're hit by a truck and you happen to have some little bit of COVID germs lurking in your spinal column, then you're dead from COVID.
Yeah, no, it's a very baffling thing. And again, getting back to my curiosity, of people's curiosity, I think the lack of curiosity is really the death of free speech, because if you're curious, you get suppressed. If you get asked,
I am curious, yeah. Yellow.
What's that from? Yeah.
It's a famous pornographic movie from a long time ago.
Thanks. And but if you're curious, you get suppressed. And if you're curious, you get banned. And if you're curious, you get labeled. And I wish my curiosity about certain things would have been opened wider many, many a moon ago. But you always were very skeptical, so was I, about Fauci. But and I do consider it Trump's biggest mistake, probably, was not firing him immediately. But yeah, I wonder what happened to America's curiosity, Ben.
If you suppress curiosity, it will go away. I mean, curiosity is not made of reinforced concrete. If you suppress curiosity, people will stop being as curious, and this is what's happened in America. I mean, look at how can it be? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Hillary Clinton. I really, really love her. She was a year behind me at Yale. She was always very friendly, fairly friendly.
Guys have a deep love affair.
No, she was not a deep, it was not a deep love affair, but I knew her. I just see her walking down the stairs of the Sterling Law Building. And she was a perfectly nice young woman. But how come there's been no serious investigation of the fact that she, as a very, very, very high official of the United States government, took bleach and hammers and very, very sophisticated software programs to erase the erasure programs that were already on her computer? I mean, what she did was so clearly violative of the Constitution. What she did was so clearly violative of the rights of every other American. Where is our curiosity gone?
Well, you know, you ask a good question, because we often have Larry Klayman, you know, our good friend, who's often considered a bit of a on the fringe. But obviously, you and
not him, by me, I love
him. We all love Larry, but you and him, who started Judicial Watch and now runs Freedom Watch, but who listen, Ben, when you have Vince Foster and all the coincidences that went into your life,
that was incredible. But
my point is, what is bleaching? What is bleaching servers at that point? When people die, when you have more people in your life that die around you by coincidence than they do.
I know, it's incredible. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And nobody seems to care about it. Why is that? I mean, when Nixon did anything, there was an investigation. Anything at all, there was an investigation. But when the Clintons do anything at all, there's no investigation. There's no investigation at all. Why is that? Why are we so why are we so incurious? A word, by the way, Ian Fleming used a lot in his early novel. Why is it that we do not have more curiosity about these very strange coinkydinks that happen in this country? There's just too many coinkydinks that can't be explained as a coinkydink.
Excuse me. And if you look around the world at the same time, there's too many strange coinkydinks, as you bring up, especially with China, with this virus. As you know, listen, the person that said this to me was the and I brought this up before, was the furthest thing from a conservative, but she did bring up that it's amazing that there was a pretty much, we know, a lab-based virus that was designed to take out a demographic which China has a major issue with, and which is obviously they're old with the elderly over there. So, you know, it's just these curious questions that are going on that need to be asked, that aren't being asked. Rand Paul, God bless his soul, is the only one. I worry about people like him, because he's going to delve in one time a little too much.
I love Rand Paul. I mean, he thinks I don't like him, but I actually like him quite a lot. And I like the fact that we have people like him who are unafraid. Now, that's a big, big thing, to have members of your legislature and your Democrat country, Democratic country, well, now it's not quite as Democrat country, not afraid to delve into really, really serious matters. That is incredibly, incredibly important. Where are those people? What happened to them? And wait, and by the way, look at this man to my left. He's a good-looking guy. He's a good-looking guy. He's got a nice car, got some nice clothes, got a little beard. He's a good-looking guy. Come on, some girl, step up to the plate, go over to his house. He lives in the Val, which is a part of L.A. Take care of him, make him chicken soup, make him whatever else your mother taught you to make for the Jewish men in your family who weren't being taken care of, and you'll be a lot happier. You'll be happier. You'll be happier. Everybody will be happier.
Thank you very much. And I got to listen, you know, I call myself a love anorexic, but when you're sick, those are really the times and you're blessed.
Absolutely.
And somebody brought up a great point in the rants. I think it was Cosmo, if I mistake who said it, I'm sorry about that. But that pain is, we forget all the pain that Fauci caused on us. And we've truly never investigated the suicides. We've never investigated all of the falling out from keeping people indoors, people still wearing masks, and
that's the best thing in the world. In LA, Jude and I both have the incredible privilege of living in Los Angeles, California. And late last few days, it's been kind of cold, but most of the time it's pleasant. There are still an incredible number of people riding around in convertibles with the top down, wearing masks by themselves. What kind of craziness is this?
And by the way, for the record, there's not one part of me, and Ben knows I'm a fairly healthy person with the way I eat. I'm in fairly decent shape. I don't believe there's anything putting a mask on would have prevented me from getting COVID again. I think some of us are just more susceptible to this thing than others. There's so much that they haven't investigated, that they haven't spoken about. And I really pray that, like, I'm so scared sometimes of the Mitch McConnells of the world, because he helps bury stories. He's like he's part of the story barrier. And you have heroes.
Nice to me. He's always been nice to me.
I know he's always been nice to you, but one thing has nothing to do with the other. You know, you know who's always nice to you, Ben? Big Ed Kemper. And he murdered 7-8 women and his grandparents. So that's good. But Big Ed was always very kind and nice and gentle.
But he wasn't kind and nice. He just said hello cheerfully.
Okay. Well, there you are. He was very friendly to you. Big Ed Kemper, the co-ed killer, was very friendly to you. So we can't base it on that. If you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to Ben Stein. And I truly think it's absolutely heroic, Ben, walking through what you're going through with your knee, and I think people do need to hear about it. And I think it does
hurt.
And I think people need to talk about it. I think and the reason I say that is because you like me decided, I wish you would have gotten it sooner, but at the same time, it's terrifying. And when you wait to have surgery, sometimes afterwards the recovery takes a little longer. Like I had when I had my hernia surgery. I had waited so long that they couldn't do the laparoscopic, that they had to do the mesh. Sorry?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you had the same type of surgery, the mesh. They needed to do a huge incision instead of, you know, doing the
they did an incision in my knee, right knee.
Yeah.
Wish I could show it to you, but I can't.
Thank God.
It's so bloody and so horrible. It looks like somebody took a stick of dynamite and shoved it up some U.S. senator's ass and lit it. That's how horrible it looks. And I hate to use such crude analogies on such a fine family show, but I will tell you, it's awful. Let me back up a little bit. Don't go to the hospital unless you absolutely have to. If you have to, you have to. But if you don't have to go, don't go. And don't trust hospital nurses. I was staying, wifey and I both go to the hospital quite often, I'm sorry to say. Wifey is the absolutely best person in the world. She's beautiful. She's intelligent. She's a very, very high successful studio executive in Hollywood. She's incredibly intelligent about how to make a movie. And even so, she got treated like she was dog do when we were in St. John's Medical Center in Santa Monica, California. And whereas I have my private nurses, and they're all men, and I love them all. But someone mentioned something about a sausage party. I don't know what that is, but we didn't have a sausage party, but I do like bacon. I do like sausage. We did not have a sausage party, but I will tell you, we had a very, very nice time.
You're a funny guy. And but getting back to it, I think so much of what stuff comes down to is your whole thing on capitalism. And you're the one that taught me many, 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 many moon ago, a poor person never gives somebody a job. And when you look at the hospital structure, you look at structures in our country of capitalism, right? Because hospitals are still have to be capitalists. And when you look at the knock on doctors that they've taken, especially with their salary, you're not having doctors that are walking around that are the happiest people in the world. And I think a lot of that goes downwards. You're not going to have nurses that are the friendliest nurses in the world. It's a whole shift of everything going downwards.
Well, let's back up a little bit. I would love, are we allowed, can we take questions from our viewers or listeners?
Yeah, we do all the time.
Okay. How much would you guess a registered nurse with an RN with 10 years experience gets paid in a private nonprofit hospital in Santa Monica, California?
I'm sure it'll take them a second, but I will wait.
No, I think they're going to be pretty surprised when they learn it's $120,000 a year. Now, that's not enough to make a person rich.
I'm actually surprised by that. That is a lot more than I thought. I was going to say $70,000.
I was a hell of a lot more than I thought it was going to be. And there they are. And I, my own self, had to say, this is a case of the market working very well. Supply and demand. Supply says, we don't have enough nurses. We better pay them more. And so the nurses started getting paid more. And I hope and pray that they keep on getting paid more. I mean, I would like to see them get paid at least as much as executives of stock brokerage firms. They're doing really difficult work. But on the other hand, I'd like them to give a goddamn about whether their patients are alive or dead.
I'd like flight attendants to start retiring earlier. The biggest mistake, and so many people are so unaware of this, is that until they unionize, Ben, right? This was never meant to be a career job, and I don't even know why I'm thinking about that, but it just brought up that idea.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. Today's flight attendant is often a very nice person, a very pleasant person, but often is not a very nice person or a very pleasant person, and is often quite a large and aggressive person who sort of shoves you out of the way if you're sitting so your arm extends over the edge of the chair.
It happens to me all the time.
Life is meal. I can't believe that. It doesn't happen to me all the time because usually I'm in first class. But I want to see some thin, respectful flight attendants. Now, somebody's going to write and say,
I brought it up. Just for the record, Ben.
I brought this up.
Okay. I'm the one I totally brought this up. Listen, nobody wants to open up their Sports Illustrated and see a 300-pound woman, or nobody wants to see a trans woman in Sports Illustrated. I don't care however much people try to convince me otherwise. Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to see this outward stuff. And that was my point about when I wanted to get into reparations. To a person, if you went to most people, they would say, are you out of your damn minds? Are you out of your damn minds? This is the road to reparations is the road to hell. Just people are scared to death to say, are you crazy? Reparations for what? This isn't Nazi Germany where they took people's lands. They killed 6 million people. They stole so much. We haven't stolen. We haven't taken.
Yeah, this reparations. I could have seen this reparations thing. I've heard it started a long time ago. Now it's I think a little late. But we are paying reparations right now in the sense that people who are disrespected are not treated right in the society get free college, free graduate school, all kinds of free things. If they play basketball, they get everything free. So let's remember that. And if we're not going to remember it, if we're just going to say, oh, no matter what, African-American people get special favors, then we don't have a free society anymore. We have a society in which one group is favored above another group. That's not right. But on the other hand, no one can look at the history of the United States before the Civil War and see that Black people were not wildly mistreated, insanely mistreated.
But you're also talking about a long, long, long time ago. That doesn't always mean that you don't need to revisit things, but the way they've revisited things with fake revisionist history and obviously these reparations, which California always seems to have an excess of money, Ben, because they tax the
crooks. Why do we? And I pay so much tax, I can't afford it anymore. It's insane how much tax we pay.
No, it is, and I love reading the rants, and thank you. Yes, I'm fat phobic, but I know you're joking, Jay Wink. But I think people are scared to death to say these things. I just think they're scared.
They're scared to death. Period. Yeah, they're scared to death.
Yeah, they're scared to death. Period. And again, this comes back to curiosity, and it comes back to being curious. To asking, what the hell are you talking about? Haven't we done reparations? Because we have. We have, in a sense, done reparations.
There's never going to be enough reparations. And why are there never going to be enough reparations? Because we're never going to arrive at a situation anytime soon where Black people and white people achieve the same results in real life after they leave school. And that is unfortunate because I think, in my humble opinion, I think Black people in general are at least as capable as white people, at least. And I see that in the case of this gentleman who works in my building in West Hollywood. His name is Henry, and he is incredibly capable. I would cheerfully give him, a 6-week course in law. I'd hire him to be my lawyer. That's how good and convincing he is.
Amazing that he's 56. You know, he is the definition of Black don't crack, because he looks like he's 31 years old. He doesn't even look 31.
And he's very, very smart and very capable. Yeah. And he believes in the Lord God, and he is really, really into it in a big way. And he takes care of his granddaughter. He has a granddaughter. Her parents were killed in an auto accident, I believe. And he takes care of her and takes very good care of her. And I've started taking him under my wing and trying to take care of him, although I'm probably going to get in terrible trouble for doing that. But I do it because I love this guy, and this guy is being a loving grandparent grandchildren.
But that's also what you do for people that you love, and you try to make the world a better place for those people. And it's just a plain fact, Jack. And to the people out there, it's Ben, I don't know how it was growing up where you grew up, but growing up in Brooklyn, there was I don't want to say there was honest dialogue. There was just real dialogue. You knew what people were thinking for good or bad. I think the same thing in your area. You knew who the anti-Semites, you knew who the racists were, because they didn't hide it. And Some of them hit it,
but there was a lot of anti-Semitism.
And racism, right, in the papers.
Really a lot. When I was growing up, if I may say this, it was just commonplace for Jews to be discriminated against in a kind of nasty, unpleasant way. It was commonplace. It wasn't unusual. It was commonplace. And even really wonderful human beings felt the same way.
The reason I bring that up is because as people are in the ranch or people, we all have thoughts and we shouldn't have to suppress things that we say. I would rather hear somebody say what's on their mind and know where they're at than have a person be in the closet about their hatred or whatever it is. And I think civilization is a much far off better place when we know what people are thinking. And who cares? Let them think how they want it. That's just my opinion, Ben. I don't
want to hear people calling me a kike because I ride my bicycle down Harvey Road in Silver Spring. I really don't. I've had that. I don't like that.
No, but yet you've said that you'd rather have somebody call you that and defend Israel than yes. somebody fake call you or somebody call you and not do any or not call it to you but not defend Israel. Or not.
I totally agree.
And that's really where I was going with that. We are running a little short on time. I want to thank everybody that's tuned in tonight. Welcome the new people.
We really appreciate you. I want to tell you, I live in a pretty big house, and I walked all the way from my bedroom where I was lying next to my big wifey very peacefully and quietly, and I came downstairs in agony and walked up down the stairs through the house. It's a pretty big house, and I walked through the living room, through the dining room, through the kitchen, and walked to the laundry room, then across the breezeway and up the stairs. And I couldn't have done it without my incredibly capable Raul, who is a Filipino nurse. And I will tell you something. If God ever decided to make a place where there are pretty close to perfect beings, it would be the Philippine Islands.
You know,
they are wonderful, wonderful people.
We were in the doctor's office yesterday, and that the other Filipino nurse who actually worked for your doctor, what was his name, Mark with a Q? And
M-A-R-C-Q.
He couldn't have been nicer. And I agree with you about the Filipinos, Gemma, everybody. They're just spectacularly amazing people. We have run out of time. I want to thank the Rumblers, the Ranthers, and everybody that's out there that's in pain, that's going through stuff. You will get through it. You'll survive, right, Ben?
I hope so.
I hope so.
I will tell you that at this present moment, even after having had a heating pad on my leg for roughly the last hour, my legs hurt so much, it's unbelievable.
Thank you for covering me for those 2 seconds. Whatever you're going through, you're not alone. That's the major message.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good.
And reach out to people. Just reach out.
Reach out in the darkness, and you may find a friend.
And by the way, in the rants, nobody's been blocked, so I don't know what you're referring to. And when you share the pain, as Ben says in one of his places, you cut the pain in half. And I sometimes really do believe that, not fully, maybe not in half either, but it's just sharing something on an intimate
43%.
Sharing something on an intimate level with somebody and having people like that in your life is extremely important, and I highly recommend it. On that note, I want to thank the Rumblers, the Ranthers, the Truthers, everybody that's tuned in tonight. And thank you all. God bless you. Ben, you want to take us out?
We are soldiers in the army. We have to fight, although we have to die. Well, we have to fight our children till the day that we die. God bless America.
You have to say who sings the song when it's so obscure. I would love to know.
I think it might be Pete Seeger.
Oh, the great communist, Pete Seeger.
Yes, yes.
But what a talented guy. Why are some of the best that way? God bless you all. God bless America. We'll see everybody Saturday night.